Matthew 24, that's in the New Testament, for those of you wondering. Matthew 24. Oh, yes. I think sometimes when we read about certain matters in the Bible, the fact that it was written 2,000 years ago, we maybe sometimes have a tendency to not take it as seriously as we should. And really, I think we're all guilty of that from time to time. Well, in Matthew 24, verse 3, as he, Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and when shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ," or really, "I am sent of Christ," and shall deceive many. Then you jump down to verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The iniquity, he's talking about the deception in the body of Christ and sin in the body of Christ, and that their love for God is going to begin to wax cold. "And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So it's possible that some people aren't going to endure to the end. Well, you look in 24, verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it's possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So if the very elect are deceivable, then they're going to be deceived. "Behold, I have told you before." So we see that false prophets are going to rise up. Whether you know it or not, they're rising up now. I want to clarify something, this whole thing of false prophets. When we hear the word prophet, we tend to think in terms of somebody standing up and saying, "Yea, thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen to you tomorrow." But that's not simply what a prophet does. A prophet stands up and speaks the mind of Christ for a given moment. So it could come across as preaching when it's actually the prophet delivering the word of God. It could come across as exhortation. I mean, that's happened numerous times here in the church where the Lord is moving on me and I'm prophesying and people don't even know what's happening. I don't mean that there's a confusing sermon being delivered, but they don't realize what's happening, that it is a prophetic word that is going forth. So Jesus has said false prophets are going to arise. These false prophets are going to speak false things relative to future events, but they are also going to deliver deceiving words or deceiving sermons, if you want to call it that, that will lead many into a place of deception. They're going to see, if it's just simply a false prophecy about what is to come, that's not going to have as great an impact on your life now as a false word of, say, teaching. Because if I can stand up and deliver to you a new revelation that God has given to me about His Word, it may have nothing to do with future events. It may have only to do with life now. But if you buy into it, it alters the way you live for the Lord, and over time, that takes you away, well, what he talks about here, from enduring until the very end. The challenge is not being led astray and putting up with the people who have been led astray. Because, man, I'm telling you, there are people out there, they've been led astray, and I don't care what you say. They'll be adamant over what they believe and at times almost antagonistic over what they believe and just demanding that you're wrong. So, even today, I think it might have been today, you know, I was checking Facebook in case anybody messaged me or anything like that, because that happens quite a bit. That's a relative term, but anyway, something had been posted. And I thought, you know, I could put something on there that is 100% true, but I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to put up with it, and I don't want the flakes, you know, to just I just don't want it. I just don't want it. So I just left it alone. You know, ignorance seems to be something that a lot of people work very hard at. You know, there was a comedian one time, he said, I mean, you know, you can go to the doctor and the surgeons and all that, and he said, you can fix ugly, but you can't fix stupid. And I'm, you know, hey, he's right. You know, you can't fix stupid. You can fix uneducated, but you can't fix stupid. That takes a work of God. I mean, really, it does. And there are a lot of people that might be nice people along the way, but they're just plain stupid. And some folks might say, well, I don't believe you're saying that from the pulpit. Well, it's true. You know, truth is what it is. We're too afraid to call it what it is at times. Anyway, boy, you could go off on a long rabbit trail with that stuff. Jesus has said false prophets are going to rise. Where are they going to arise? They're going to rise within the body of Christ. Some of these false prophets are going to be people you and I have heard of, maybe even listened to at one time. Some of them will not have the name that everybody knows. They won't have huge ministries, but they're still going to be false prophets. See, here's how it works. There are a lot of big-time preachers, pastors, ministries, and all this other where you know, the big churches can have them come in. But a lot of the small churches can't get people like that to come in. Now, we can talk about the reasons why, but we're not going to. They just aren't able to get those people to come in. But that means you need to have the affordable false prophets that you can bring in. You understand what I mean? So you're going to have false prophets at all levels of ministry, as far as the size of their ministry. And you can have false prophets who are going to say, listen, I don't charge anything to come in. I'll pay my own expenses. It's between you and the Lord if you want to give me an offering or cover expenses, but I demand nothing. So as far as that's concerned, well, it sounds pretty good. But they're still a false prophet. So if somebody shows up, not necessarily, well, it could be here. I mean, truth is, it's possible that somebody I thought was on track could stand up and deliver a message that's off track and that I might miss God. Or it's possible God might orchestrate it to have somebody do that and not warn me about it ahead of time because he wants that person exposed. So that could happen. But whether it would be here or someplace else, wherever that would be, if someone stands up and begins delivering a false prophecy, do you think you could pick up on it? The wheels are turning, I know. Those of you here, those listening, watching, do you think you could pick up on it? Our immediate answer is going to be, we want to say yes, but we also want to stay, you know, humble. So our immediate answer might be something like, well, I think I could. I sure hope I could. And we'd say it in a way that would imply, yeah, I could. You know how we can do with our voice. Yeah, all right. Well, what I want to do tonight is take you to a passage of Scripture that, in my opinion, is one of the most, you got to be joking me, passages in the entire Bible. It's one, I have read this, and every time I read it, I think, what is the deal with this? So, we're going to go all the way back to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. Now, what's happened is Israel has become a divided nation. They have a guy named Rehoboam, and Rehoboam is ruling over 10 of the tribes. Or no, he's ruling over Benjamin and Judah. And Jeroboam is ruling over the other 10 tribes. So Rehoboam is ruling over Judah and Benjamin. And Jeroboam is ruling over the rest of the tribes. Now, both of these guys have done bad stuff. All right? Neither one of them is the banner child for serving God. Well, they're ruling and stuff happens and it looks like war is going to break out between the tribes. Now, you might think, well, you know, I mean, if Rehoboam only over Judah and Benjamin, well, Jeroboam's going to win for sure. The problem is Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, had a reputation of being, like today we'd call them the street gang. I mean, these guys were rough, tough, mean, and gruff. Mess with them, they show you their stuff. So, like that? It's all right, you can quote me. So, anyway, the war was diverted, but Jeroboam wasn't so sure something might happen anyway. So we pick it up in chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. What's the house of David? Judah. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, sat down and talked it over with some people, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. That's too much of a trip. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Does that sound familiar? You better believe that sounds familiar. Now, what happened the first time somebody did this? As a whole bunch of people died. And that was just with one golden calf. This guy brings out two. See, now this right here is an example. If we do not take seriously what we see in Scripture, I don't care Old or New Testament, as warnings to us today, we are fools. So, he makes two calves and he says, It's too hard of a trip for you guys to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places. Now read verse 31 closely. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. That didn't even happen with the first golden calf. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. In other words, he's copying what they do in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Now right away, we can identify that Jeroboam is operating as a false prophet, though he is not called a prophet. You see this? He's delivering a message of deception to the people. Well, let's see how this works out. And this is the chapter, verse 13, that to me is just mind-boggling. Chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. In other words, we're picking up in chapter 13, verse 1, where we left off at the end of chapter 12. So here's Jeroboam, he's there at the altar. And this guy shows up, a man of God. In verse 2, he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, or fall apart, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, after they've eaten, after they've been drinking the water, it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. Now stop right there. I don't know about you, but if I'm the man of God from Judah, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, hold on a minute, old man. You came to me and you said, you had a word from the Lord. You told me, essentially, it was okay for me to come with you and eat and drink. You told me that. You are an old prophet. You've been around a whole lot longer than me. And you told me you had a word from the Lord. And I did as you said. Now you tell me I'm going to die before I ever get back home. What's the deal with this? You know, that had to be really gutsy. That prophet said that and then turns right around and says, oh, by the way, boy, was I wrong. Well, it came to pass, verse 23, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And here's the scene. You got this guy that just been killed by a lion. You got the donkey on one side and the lion on the other. And the lion and the donkey are just standing there doing nothing. Verse 25. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now, I read this verse and I'm thinking, okay, so like, how close were these guys? Because Kathy and I have both been in a situation where we have been like 10 feet away, we were in a vehicle, 10 feet away from a male and a female lion that have just killed something. Out in the wild, this is not a zoo, this is out in the wild, where if you get out of the vehicle, that's it. Nobody promises you anything. So people are passing by the way, and I'm just thinking, how close were you? I mean, it's not like you're on the sidewalk and there's a dog laying in somebody's front yard. I mean, what's the deal with this? Well, verse 26, when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Yeah, and who made him, I mean, who told him? Who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord, therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found the carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. Now that right there is a miracle. Can you imagine that lion? Look at, says, man, I want to eat that, but there's just something not letting me go after it. So, the prophet, now the lion is right there by the carcass. You got this. Now guys, look, you don't just walk up to something a lion has just killed and drag it away. You just don't do that. You become the next dead person. Well, it says the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, which means the lion just sat there and watched the whole thing, didn't do anything. There's another miracle. And laid it upon the ass and brought it back, and the old prophet came to the city to mourn and bury him. Now see, I don't know about you, but I just get so much humor out of this. You lied to the guy. Now that he's dead, you're mourning him? I mean, where is your own remorse? Where are you saying, oh God, forgive me for false profiting to this man? Well, anyway, he laid the carcass on his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Okay, now, this is one of the most incredible passages to me in all the Bible. Here you have a man of God who obviously heard from the Lord. And he delivers a message. And Jeroboam, he doesn't like what he hears. So he says, arrest that man. And when he sticks out his hand and points to him, his hand dries up. He says, oh, pray for me that I be healed. So the man prays, and Jeroboam's healed. Jeroboam says, hey, look, come with me, I'll feed you, you know, reward you. And the guy says, I can't. God told me, I am not to eat here or drink here. I'm not to do it. And I'm not to go home the same way I got here. So, sorry, king, but I'm out of here. So he leaves. Then the old prophet. Now, this is to me is very important in that it does not say another prophet. It says an old prophet. Indicating somebody who's been around for a long time and has gained respect in the eyes of people as a prophet. Someone who declares the word of God. So the man of God, the guy from Judah, and this old prophet meet up. Now guys, if you were to meet up with somebody, and they have that distinguished, elderly look, and you know they have a track record of ministering before God, I mean, they are of reputation. And they start speaking to you. And they say in that type of voice that just seems to grab your attention. I don't even mean in a big public, yeah, you there. No, just maybe after a service and they just come up to you. You know, during the service, the Lord was really drawing my attention to you. And, you know, brother, I just want to share this with you. The Lord says, and He begins to tell you, thus saith the Lord, you and I both know the tendency is going to be to believe it. It'd be different if some 18-year-old kid came up and said the same thing. You think, well, you know, young punk. I mean, you know, he hadn't been around long enough. I don't really know if I could. But this guy, you know, he's like, almost 70 years old, and he's been around in ministry for 50 years. He's known as a prophet. And our tendency would be to listen to this and to receive it. And that is what happened in this situation. Because two times, the prophet from Judah said, I have a word from the Lord, and here's what the Lord told me. But because of the persona of another individual, the prophet from Judah was led to believe God had changed his mind. You with me? And so he went with the old prophet. Now I can understand the part about being deceived. I really can. It's just this whole thing of how the old prophet lied. I can't find anything which indicates the old prophet got in trouble with God. That's the part that really throws me a curve. How that there is absolutely no remorse demonstrated in this. No admission of guilt on the part of the old prophet. Well, I miss God. Or I just blatantly lied. Or whatever. I mean, there's nothing here that says, oh God, please forgive me, for I have spoken wrongly and prophesied ill in your name, or whatever it would be. That's not in here. It's like the guy turns into somebody else and says, well, he disobeyed the Lord. Judgment came on him. The lion got him. You know, alas, my brother. Let's bury him in my prepaid grave. And then when I die, you put my bones in there next to his. Why, it sounds so noble, doesn't it? The guy lied. Now, there's one thing that sticks out in this. Let me show you. Prophet of Judah, the prophet from Judah, and old prophet meet. And prophet from Judah is sitting under the oak tree, relaxing, whatever. And old prophet says, come back home with me, and you know, we'll eat and drink water. prophet from Judah says, I can't. I mean, I have a word from the Lord that says, don't. And then the old prophet, verse 18, says, I am a prophet also as thou art. Now look at this next part. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord. You want to know how? One way to guard yourself against false prophecy? If anybody stands up and says, the angel of God showed up before me and began giving me teaching, you better, I mean, the red flags need to be waving, the red lights need to be flashing, and you need to be putting your coat on, getting ready to run out of that place. You understand what I mean? That image I'm painting there. When people stand up and they start talking about, an angel visited me last night. In my office before the service, an angel showed up. Angels have been coming to my home, and angels this and angels that. Oh, folks, listen. The angel of the Lord has just walked in to the sanctuary. We need to stop and hear what the angel of the Lord has to say. That happened in a church. I know the church where that happened. When that stuff begins to take place, you know, there's coming a day, maybe sometime this year, I'm going to be teaching on angels. I know that. I just don't know the time frame when it's going to happen. But one thing I am telling you is this. Yes, angels can be used of God to deliver messages. I know that. However, I'm not waiting for an angel. I'm not looking for an angel. And as far as I'm concerned, they can just stand guard over the property. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. If anybody's going to show up and pay me a visit, I want it to be Jesus. I don't. Now, let's say that God has some kind of plan that someday He wants an angel to show up to me. You know what? If that's God's plan, okay, fine. But, and I know God can hear what I'm saying here tonight. I don't feel the need for an angel to show up. And if angels do start showing up, I'm going to have some very pinpoint questions for them that will very quickly identify who they really are. Whether they're genuine or angels of light. I don't need angels. And if you guys, any of you here listening, watching, whatever, you've been having a whole lot of angelic encounters, you had better guard yourself, drop to your knees, and get into serious prayer to confirm what's happening. The Apostle Paul, he didn't need a whole lot of angels showing up. Now, we do know there was a reference to the angel of the Lord showing up. Remember the shipwreck and all this kind of stuff. All right, we know that. We know that. But sometimes in Scripture, and this is where you have to really meditate, a reference to the angel of the Lord is actually a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Jesus. It's just terminology that was used. All right, now, getting back to this. The guy says, an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord. A lot of people, if they hear that, they're going to buy into it. Wow, did you hear the angel? Whew, yeah. Well, what did the angel have to say? But even if somebody does not use an angel in their discussion, if they just say, I received, you know, I mean, the Lord began to speak to me and gave me this word for you. I'm telling you right now, you better not grab a hold of every word from the Lord that somebody gives you, because sooner or later, Satan's going to figure it out and he's going to have somebody come to you and give you a false word, but it's going to sound so good. One of the things that it kind of frustrates me, well, frustrate, maybe that's not really the right word. It kind of bothers me is when people come to me and ask me, do you have a word from the Lord for me? And no, I mean, I don't. Well, okay. You know, it's like God and I spend all day talking about you. No, that doesn't happen. But now that you've come and asked me that, I probably will go and talk to Him about you. Get your own word, man. Get your own. Go to God and pray. Stay in prayer. You know, you don't have to run to and fro trying to find somebody. You get a word from the Lord for me. And I can remember years ago, back when Kathy and I first got married, and we were in a church where the gifts operated. And every now and then a preacher would come in, and a preacher known for being used in a word of prophecy. And that's genuine. God just uses a lot of preachers like that. Well, you know, you're kind of hoping, you know, I want to get called out. I want to get a word, man. I want to hear I'm going to be a millionaire. Yeah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Big house and big cars and all that stuff, you know. You know, call me out, call me out. Come on, come on, come on. Just don't tell everybody what's going on in my life. But please, call me out. And over the years, as I've grown in the Lord, now, I got to tell you, I almost hope nobody calls me out. Now, if it's God, I'm okay with it. But I'm perfectly happy to not be called out and given a word. My perspective has shifted. I no longer depend on prayer lines and preachers. My dependency has grown more and more upon the Lord and hearing from Him. Well, this prophet from Judah had a word from the Lord. Then somebody else came along and gave him another word. And he allowed the word from the old prophet, who had the experience, who had the track record and all that, he allowed that word to take precedence over what he previously was convinced were God's absolute instructions for him. If somebody comes to you individually or from a pulpit delivers something that absolutely contradicts what you know is a word from God, you don't start screaming, heretic, heretic. But at that moment, at that instant, in the middle of where you're sitting, you just begin talking to God on the inside. What am I hearing? What's going on here? Because I believed such and such what you told me, and I'm hearing something else now. You get called out. Yeah, the Lord says, my sister, that blah, blah, and etc. And it contradicts something that the Lord has clearly given to you. You don't have to make a big scene. But I guess the nicest thing to say, if you're asked, does that bear witness with you? Is to say, well, you know what, I'm going to pray about it. And then maybe after the service, if the Lord leads you to, is, you know, maybe approach this person if you can. But there may be times where it is appropriate to say, no, I'm sorry, that totally contradicts what the Lord has told me before. Because you see, the Lord made it very clear to me, such and such, thus and thus, etc., etc. Now, granted, if you do that, you're going to hear a pin drop. You know what I mean? I mean, there's going to be this silence, nobody breathing, this, oh my goodness, what's going on here? That person's contradicting the prophet of God. Well, the prophet of God is contradicting God. So, what do you expect? Well, anyway, look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We want to see a few things here. In Romans and then in another place about this whole thing of the prophet. See, the prophet from Judah that had shown up, this guy had his own track record, if you will. We don't know anything about this guy. We don't know his past or whatever, but he's identified as a prophet. And he had a word from the Lord. So it might be safe to guess that God has used him this way in the past. Just because somebody has had what you might say a perfect track record in hearing from God and delivering words, it doesn't mean they can't miss God. It doesn't mean they are infallible. Whenever you receive a word from the Lord, even if it bears witness with your spirit, you pray about it. You pray about it. And you ask God for further clarification. Even if it is if it's the same word that you got in prayer the night before, you still pray about it. Father, help me understand more about what I'm hearing. Help me understand. I want more clarity. I just, you know, want to, you know, let's talk about this. Always, I don't care who it is, whether it's me or anybody, When you receive a word from the Lord, you pray about it. And it's not just a word from the Lord. It has to do with when the prophetic sermon is being delivered. Do you understand what I mean by that? Not necessarily in the days to come, here is, but what I was talking about earlier in this message. Well, now in Romans chapter 12, we're going to jump here in this at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now this means that this whole aspect of prophecy is directly connected to developed faith. There are some people, they mean, well, okay, remember the sermon this morning I was talking about untempered zeal and a hunger for God? Untempered zeal and a hunger for God without watering the word that is sown can lead to false prophecy. And a lot of people that I've met over the years, I would say, fall into that category. Now, a lot, that's a relative term to the number of people I met throughout the years, preachers, ministers, and all this other. But some of them definitely fit into that category of those that you should be very wary of when it comes to receiving a word from them. Look, every one of you in here, every one of you, could stand up before a bunch of people and just begin to cut loose with things from the Word of God. I'm talking truth now, all right? Every single one of you could do it. That goes on a lot, and if you stand up and you do it just right, especially in front of certain groups, and you've got a whole lot of shouting and a whole lot of spitting and a whole lot of stomping and a whole lot of volume and a whole lot of this, they'll exalt you. And I've seen this. But from God's perspective, in order for Him to take you deeper in this area of what we might, well, what He calls in here prophesying, you need to develop your faith. Because true prophecy will never contradict the Word of God. Never. Ever, never, ever. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God can work with the person through prophecy, but it's going to be relative to the faith they have developed. You know, somebody stands up and says, "Yeah, thus saith the Lord. Sister, would you please stand up? Lord's got a word for you. He says, I love you and I watch over you. And I love you and I watch over you. Oh, can you give Him glory?" Well, now, is that true? Well, sure, that's true. It's absolutely true. And is it possible that God really did move on that person to give that word? Absolutely. But if that person is only walking at that level of word comprehension, you understand what I mean by that? Then that's all God can do through that person. However, it's easy for the individual to add stuff to it. All right? Now, according to the proportion of faith. The body of Christ, too many Christians, are too quick to just grab a hold of anything that seems prophetic. And that's where you're going to make your mistakes. This goes back to Matthew 24, what Jesus said about the deception taking place. Now look at another place, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14. Because we have some verses here in 1 Corinthians 14 which go right along with all of this. In verse 29... let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. In other words, if somebody believes they've received a prophetic word, you know, you're not going to line up and 15, 20 people. Now, I've seen this. Anybody believe they got a word from the Lord? What? Man, you're opening up a Pandora's box of problems. You don't do that. But anyway. Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. Meaning they listen with a discerning spirit, if you will. Because if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Well, this kind of goes back to the proportion of faith. You can't deliver truth if truth's not in you. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Meaning, if you stand up and you begin delivering a word, not necessarily a word specific to an individual or to a congregation or a thus saith the Lord, next month, such and such. No, if you just stand up and the Lord is telling me such, and you just begin to deliver this, what some might call an exhortation, you need to be strong enough for that. You need to be strong enough to endure the scrutiny of those who are more mature in God. And if you miss it, you need to be willing to listen. I've known of situations where those who delivered, spoke it, were not willing to listen to correction. And he continues in this. Just go ahead and jump over to verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritually mature, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now stop right there for a moment. Think about this. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Well, what about the commandments? We are under grace. We aren't under commandments. We're a New Testament church. What's this say right here? If any man thinks he's a prophet or spiritually mature, you don't even have to think you're a prophet. If you think you're spiritually mature, let him acknowledge, agree with, and confirm that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now remember chapter 14 talks a whole lot about tongues. And now we see the word commandment associated with things that are written here in chapter 14 and really the entire book. But verse 38, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now this phrase, if any man, where it says be ignorant, that is not, well, if any man's uneducated, then leave him uneducated. No, if any man is just going to choose to reject and choose in the process to remain an ignoramus, that's a variation of ignorant, then he says, let him be ignorant. In other words, don't get into an argument with ignorant by choice people. Don't do it. Let the stupid stay stupid. Okay, maybe that was just going a little bit too far there, but I'm not going to edit it out. I said that to be slightly humorous, okay? But he's saying let the ignorant... Now, really, I mean, when you think about it, you got to be kind of stupid to choose to remain ignorant. But this is what he's talking about. If any man is going to choose to be ignorant, then leave him alone. Let him be ignorant. It's kind of like what Jesus said, the blind leading the blind. Both are going to fall into a ditch. This right here, the ignorant thing, some of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life are going to be these ignorant people. Because they're going to grab a hold of the false prophetic teaching and words, and they're going to live by that. And they're going to lay claim to the fact, well, they're... See, you can have a church that is one of the most dynamic churches when it comes to leading people to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Or they might have the most incredible worship team that you've ever heard. And during the worship, man, these guys, their hearts are in it. And the songs they sing aren't, you know, blasphemous, error-filled songs. I mean, they're singing to Jesus. And they're sincere about it. And it's genuine. But you see, regardless of how right a church is in this area or in that thing over here, whatever it would be, it doesn't mean that everything that's going on is right. It doesn't mean that there is not false prophecy coming from the pulpit, if you will. And there are examples I could give, but this is not the time for it, not in this message. So just because you see good, it doesn't mean that God's hand is upon all that goes on. Here he says, if people are going to be ignorant, if that's what they want to be, if they are not going to, verse 37, let's put it like this. If you think that you really are further along in God, and you truly believe that you're spiritually mature, then you are going to agree with what I have written, and you will confirm to others that these things are the commandments of God. But if you disagree with what I have written to you, and with what I am teaching, you are choosing to be ignorant. And if that's the case, go ahead and live ignorant. Just don't turn your back on Jesus. You can be an ignorant Christian. Just don't turn your back on Jesus. That is what Paul is saying here. That means, boy, this one will cause a lot of problems. If you disagree with things that are written in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you say it's not of God, it's not for today, it's not ordained of the Lord, Holy Spirit doesn't do this or that anymore, then you know what? In that area alone, at least, you are choosing to be ignorant. Because this is a commandment of God for the church, the body of Christ, today, what you see in here. So let's go back here to what I was sharing at the beginning. When the false prophecies come forth, are you going to be able to discern them? Are you going to be able to tell the difference between what is and is not a true, genuine word from God spoken through a person? Because remember, the man from Judah, he heard from God. God used him as a prophet. But even he was deceived. What did Jesus say? If it's possible, the very elect will be deceived. Now that deception runs at all levels. Just because you are the very elect doesn't mean you're beyond being deceived. And just because you're not the very elect doesn't mean that you can that you'll be able to detect what is and is not right more than the elect. In other words, well, I don't have a ministry, I don't have this. All right, but so? But you can still be at a place spiritually to detect what is and is not deception. We absolutely must press into God to become so sensitive. You know what? If we took one little bitty, itsy, bitsy, teensy, weensy grain of sand and put it in your shoe, you'd feel it. Even with your socks on, you would feel it. Even on your heel, where it's somewhat calloused, you would feel it. And you would take your shoe off and your sock off trying to get that one single teeny weeny grain of sand out of your shoe. That is how sensitive our spirits need to be when it comes to hearing somebody speaking what they say the Lord has given to them. Whether it is, yea, thus saith the Lord in a few days. Brother or sister, would you please stand up? Got a word for you. Or just what appears to be an exhortation sermon coming from the pulpit. We need to be so sensitive. Now guys, the only way that's going to happen is if we continue to press into God. Not just praying in the Spirit. And this is for me too now. For me too. But also with the... especially getting into the Word. Because the Word is what gets twisted to deliver the false prophecies. The more sensitive we become spiritually, is the quicker we're going to be able to detect the deception. And even if everybody else around us stays ignorant, that's their choice. But, you know, for me and my spirit, I want to serve the Lord. You understand what I mean? I want to build my house on that strong foundation of the truth of God's Word. I want that grain of sand sensitivity in my spirit. And I believe you do too. And guys, we can have it if we're pressing into God. Father, I'm asking you to minister to everybody here tonight, everybody who's heard this by way of the internet, everybody who's going to hear it after the fact. Minister to us and help us to just... Well, let me say it like this, Father. I give you permission to move powerfully in me if I'm hearing something and it's wrong, especially if I start feeling drawn to that wrong something. Father, by choice of my will, I say you operate with free rein in my life because I don't want to be deceived. Father, I pray that everybody here tonight, everybody hearing this, that we would all have the same attitude. Father, have free rein in my life to work with me, to help me to be sensitive to anything spoken which is wrong. Because we don't want to end up, figuratively speaking, like the man of God from Judah. And Father, in your word, you said that Satan, as a roaring lion, is looking for people he can destroy. We saw the imagery of it there in that story about that man from Judah that delivered the word of God. He accepted the wrong word, and the lion took him down. So, Father, I want to thank you for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And may we be powerfully motivated to continue to press deeper into you, not just because we're moved by this message, but because we're moved in our spirit day in and day out.